But we've been talking about faith, and how many of you know it is the essence of who we are as believers? Without it, you're just not pleasing God. And we need to know that. And I mean, you can say, well, I know the Lord pleased with me. He's not pleased with you when you're not in faith. And so don't lie to yourself ever again. Because it doesn't please him when you don't trust him. Now turn to Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. And we're going to start there this morning. Because the anointing is already here. Glory to God. And this is such a great and awesome day that God has provided for us. When you have it, say, I have it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So whatever you say and continue, the Bible said that's what you love. See, the way you talk, that's what you love. You love talking that way. And the Bible says you're going to get the fruit of it. You're going to receive a harvest based on the way you talk. See, it's not about what you say to my face, because, you know, we can do Christian stuff all day long, as long as we're around other Christians. It's what I say when I'm by myself. It's what I do when I get home and let my hair down. Because I'm still speaking. And then look at Proverbs 6, verse 2. Because when I consider Proverbs 18, 21, I tell you what, and that my tongue controls my whole life. That's something that you need to, like Psalm says, Selah. Pause and think about it. Because your tongue is controlling your whole life. Proverbs 6, verse 2. Thou art snared or trapped. That word snared means trap. With the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. See, your words are powerful. He says here, your words can be a trap. What you say can trap you. I started using an example, but that's not a good one. I'm not going to mess with marriages today. So, but what I say to me, about me, is determining my quality of life. It's not about what somebody else think of you. Because you got to rise above what people think about you and what they say against you or for you. You can't let when somebody say something good about you go to your head, and you can't let something somebody say bad about you go to your head. You gotta release it. Because all that can be toxic. Because we'll puff ourselves up on something somebody said good about us if you're not careful. And that can be a trap. We say negative things so freely and easily. But we have to work, say work, at saying what is right. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. We're operating in a fallen system. And we are not of this world. Remember what the scripture said? We are in this world, but not of this world. Therefore, the natural gravity is to follow what is already existing. What already exists. So it's a natural pull for you to say negative things. Have you ever noticed that you had to teach your child to be selfish? It's a natural gravity pull on that child to do something negative. Because we're living in a negative system. So if I follow the system, I'm going to get what the system has. Doing right is not automatic. Talking right is not automatic. That's why you have to say against your feelings what's right. Because you may not feel it. It may not look like it, but you got to say what's right. And I know sometimes, listen, I know, been there, it just seems comfortable to say what it is. I'm going to say it like it is. That's what they said in my day. Going to say it like it is. You don't want to say it like it is. But if what you are looking at is not what you want, then stop calling for more of the same. because the more you rehearse it, you know, and I know, and I'm, look, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, don't claim to be, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And I believe he's smarter than any psychologist and psychiatrist. And if he said you shouldn't keep saying the negative things, why should somebody tell you to keep talking it out? I believe you may have to deal with some issues and be healed. But to keep going against the grain, if you got to tell everybody to see you, you got to tell them, rehearse your negative situation, how bad it is, how hurt you are, how long you've been hurt. How long you going to keep saying that? Because you're not going to get healed saying it. Oh, see, you didn't know that was a trick. You're not going to get healed or delivered saying that continuously. It's going to keep those negative emotions stirred up. And then you're going to be upset and offended when people don't coddle those feelings. Because you think people should give you pity and empathy and sympathy when you need a kick in the rear end and say, get up from there and say what's right. Because that's the only thing that will change your environment. Everybody has some hurt they got to deal with. Everybody been disappointed. Find somebody never had a hurt. Maybe not yours exactly, but find somebody never been hurt, never been offended, never get something they wanted. Find somebody that never been through nothing. And I tell you, you're not on planet Earth. You're on a planet all by yourself. So we need to stop magnifying the negative. Because we've been given a charge to live by faith in every area of our lives. There's not a part of you that's not supposed to be controlled by faith. Look at Luke 8, verse 5. Excuse me. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow. So he doing what a sower does. He went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, say he sowed. So he did his job, right? Say he did his job. Because he did the Bible just said, as he sowed. So that means he was doing it. Some fell by the wayside. Who's responsible for that? No. He's sowing seed. He's not responsible for the soil. That's where y'all mess up. Because y'all come looking for a preacher to fix y'all heart. No, you're responsible for the soil of your heart. Watch it says, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Why? Because that person did nothing with the word. They heard this word. It was sown. It was put out. And their heart wasn't ready to hear it. It wasn't special. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It's talking about the kinds of heart soil, the soils of the heart. So there's somewhere your heart is lacking moisture, which means there's not enough word. There's not enough praise and worship going on in their heart because it lacks moisture. How many of you know your plant gonna die if it never gets watered? The leaves can be green and pretty and look like they're standing this tall. But if by and by, if you don't give it water, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to go in there one day and it's flipped over. The leaves all yellow. You said, well, I wonder what happened to it. You think? You stop giving it what it needs. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it. And the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. Ooh, Jesus. So in other words, they were planting faith, word of faith and negative stuff at the same time. As the Indian said, you talk with a forked tongue. You're trying to divide your speech of what's happening. You're still planting seeds going into your heart. Watch this. See, how we handle this, let me finish reading it, then I go back to my notes. And it says, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. In other words, you're not supposed to hear like the world or see like the world. You're supposed to understand the mysteries of the word. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So the word never got planted. It was sown. Watch this. They on the rock are they which when they hear the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth. But listen, something started choking them. And what I got in my notes, see, if you talk negatively more than you do the word of faith, the words of fear, doubt, and unbelief will develop stronger roots in you than the words of faith. See, you talk like God off and on like it's a hobby, but you're talking negatively more than you're talking Jesus. And they have stronger roots, which means they're going to take ascendancy over those words of faith. This is going to choke them. When you look up the word choke, it means to obstruct or to keep air from getting to it. So what happens? Those negative words are literally suffocating the words of faith. Because it's preventing the words of faith from getting more moisture. Because you are the one that have to keep the words of faith moist. Who drinks water for you? I can't drink water for you. You got to drink it for yourself. So in order to keep the words of faith moist, you got to keep saying them. Do you see how important it is? Why? Because you give power to the negative words to grow a crop of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Then it will produce the harvest of fear. Fear is the harvest of your negative words. You keep saying, oh, I'm so scared of that. I don't know if I can do that. I'm so scared. Fear says, keep talking. I'm going to produce in a minute. And you're going to be so scared. You're going to be scared to sleep in the dark. You're going to be scared to drive. See, it don't stay in just that one little corner that you're talking about in your mind. It's coming to take over. Faith comes to take over your whole life if you give it the ability to do it. So what's happening? Our current society is trying to make everyone see themselves as a victim. If you adopt this philosophy, what will happen to faith? This philosophy requires you to depend on the government for housing, for food, for health, no matter how substandard they give you. Y'all better hear me. You keep making adjustments to accommodate this philosophy. They say, this is all we're going to give you. You know, they give you this medicine that they know it's not worth putting in your body. But because you don't have to pay for it, I'll accept it. They say, We're going to give you this cheese. You don't know where the cheese been, how long it's been around, where it came from. But because it's free, I'm taking this cheese. Because they have pre-programmed people to depend on programs. Kind of like when you go into religious environments. They got enough programs to start a revolution. But they don't have no power. And I'm not against programs if they literally help people. But if the intent and the motive behind them is to trap you and make you lose your dependency on God, I ain't for it. But what we do, we keep right on making adjustments so we can keep right on depending on these social programs, because we are not ready to grow up and be a distributor based on the kingdom. So what did you do with your faith? Now, there are programs out there that I could participate in because of my age. I know I look young, but mama is there. Looking good. Hey. But based on my age, there are certain programs that I can participate in. But here's the criteria for me to participate. I can't have more than $2,500 in a bank account at any given time. Now, y'all know that's not going to work for me, right? You cannot own a home. What? You cannot own a new car. The car you drive cannot be valued more than $3,000. But what about faith? How many believers? Now, I know I'm making some people angry looking online, but you need this. Go ahead and strap your boots and stop complaining. Because you need to detach yourself from some of these programs. It'll grow you up real fast when you take your dependency out of them and put it in God. God will manifest himself greater than you can ever imagine. I've seen him do it again and again and again. I'm living in a house that people say, how are you living in there? Because my daddy put me there. My God loves me and he keeps me. We got a strange visitor up here, and he just died. He's one of the sacrifices for the rest of them. You know, ants got their purpose, but not on my podium. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, look at that. Luke 18:8. I tell you, now this is the parable of the unjust judge. And Jesus says, as a result of the unjust judge, he gave it to the lady because she kept wearing him. But see, she understood that she had a right. She was the daughter of Abraham, and she had a right to divine protection. And she came after it. And Jesus said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, talking about our Heavenly Father. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find this kind of persistent faith? He says, so where is your faith? What about faith? Am I going to find faith when I come back? The kind of faith that'll weather anything? Woo, Jesus. He says, who will persevere in faith until they receive the manifestation of the promise? Most Christians give up right at the edge of getting their promise. You could be so close to it, but then the devil step in and take you off course, and before you know it, you got to start all over again. You got to know you're dealing with a trickster. The devil doesn't care about you. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 13. When you have it, say, I have it. These all died in faith. These all died in faith. These all died in faith. They died in faith. Ooh. They died believing, not having received the promises. The promises of what? Of Christ, the hope of glory living inside of us. They didn't have Jesus living inside of them, but they saw the promise. Watch this. And it says, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded. When are we going to be persuaded that God is right? And his way is always the best way. They were persuaded of them and they embraced them and they what? Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They confessed that they were not of this world. They were in the world, but they were not of the world. Ooh, Jesus. So through the eyes of faith, they could see what we are living in today. If they were here today, they probably would say, let me go back. Because these people don't appreciate. How many of you got people that you know, or you a mother or a grandmother, and your children don't really appreciate all that you sacrifice so they can be where they are? They look at you like you're an auntie and think your ideas are antiquated. But those antiquated ideas got you where you are today. That's a whole lesson in itself. Your faith doesn't work well when you don't honor your parents. You can try, but it doesn't. I didn't say you had to submit to their wrongdoing. I said honor and respect them. Because without them, you wouldn't be here. Now you go figure. They may not have been the best parent in the world, but they got you here. And they didn't let you die. Ooh, Jesus. I grew up in poverty. We didn't know we were poor because everybody in our neighborhood was poor. Everything looked the same. You borrowed this person's stuff. They borrowed kerosene. They liked the heater. That's the way you live. I would never, ever consider disrespecting either one of my parents. And I know that's why I am where I am today, because I honored them. The patriots of old all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers, that they were not from this world. They were not of this world. Hallelujah. Now, you'll never rise above your confession. If you confess the negative words consistently, those words will choke your faith. They will keep away from your faith what is needed for your faith to stay alive. It takes peace and joy to keep faith alive. That's part of the moisture system. See, when you start reading the Bible, all of it goes together. We're trying to segregate the Bible. And you can't. Because all of it depends on the other. That's the way the Bible works. So you start confessing the word, and then your situation seemingly, gets worse. It could be a doctor's report, or a financial dilemma, or even your children, whatever it might be. Then you stop saying what the word of faith says. And you come into agreement with the doctor report, the money dilemma, and your children be wayward. You come into agreement so much to the place, you personalize it and start taking ownership of the problem. You say things like this: I have diabetes. I don't have enough money. My children just won't do right. I just owned that problem. I took ownership of it. Where's your faith? It's moving further and further and further away from your situation. Why? These negative things are coming to choke it out. It's coming to choke it out. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what I do. When I'm pressed to get something, I pull out my Psalms 23. And I just ran back and I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not in need. I'm not desperate. I'm not hurting. I have everything I need and desire. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's not dragging me through the mud. He's not making me grovel. He's not making me go through all this mess I'm dealing with. He's leading me. He's putting me on the right track. And whatever I did, whatever, I know this is an attack of the enemy. But the Lord knows the path that I need to stay on. He knows how to take me through this. He restores my soul. He refreshes my soul. He causes my soul to be enlightened and be receive revelation. Because I got my eyes on him, my soul can be restored. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He teaches me what honors him, how to handle this situation I'm in that will bring honor to him. See, righteousness is simply doing things God's way. I'm going to learn God's way. While I'm in it, I'm going to learn God's way how to do it. I might have started out wrong doing it wrong, but God will tell me how to do it right because he got a right way of doing it. Woo, Jesus. He's got a right way of doing it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, it looks like, 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 it looks like. It looks like I'm going under. It looks like the doctor said what is happening is really happening. But I'm not afraid. How can I not be afraid of what the doctor say? Because I got this revelation. For thou art with me. You never left me alone. Woo, Jesus. You are with me. I'm just going through. I'm not taking my tent and camping in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not surrendering my faith in the valley. I'm staying close because you are with me. This I preach to myself at home. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy revelation of who you are, it brings comfort. Woo, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Your rod and your staff, it's the comfort of knowing who he is and how great he is. It's bringing comfort to me because I know he's more than able. And he's more than enough. That brings comfort. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Just when they thought they had me in their grip, you pull out the table. You pull out this overwhelming blessing and you set me at the table and say, pick, daughter, whatever you want. It's all yours. I give it to you. See, if you don't start talking like that, you'll never have what I'm talking about. You got to make this scripture come alive inside of you. And the more you say it, the more real it becomes. The more real, the more activated it becomes. You're moistening that word of faith. Why? Because that's what it does. It keeps it alive. It keeps it alive until, you know, you can have a praise part all by yourself. Woo, Jesus. Thou preparest a table before me right in the eyes of my enemies. For all those that said I wasn't going to make it. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. But I'm telling you, I'm still here. And I'm still prospering. See, you got to have something to say to your enemies. My God prepares for me right in the eyes of my enemies. Oh, a table, a feast, a table. It might be beans and franks today, but that's your table of feast because he prepared it for you. You didn't beg for it. You didn't steal it. God gave it to you. And next week it could be filet mignon with a baked potato and some broccoli on the side. Woo, Jesus. That'll make you hungry. If you've ever had filet mignon, you can cut it with a spoon. It is so tender. God wants us to have the best. Why keep settling for that tough steak that you can't even hardly cut with a knife or a saw? Well, he got filet mignon waiting on you. See, it's how you see you. You don't think you're worthy of that. I do. I'm worthy of filet mignon. In fact, I have it coming to my house every 2 months to make sure I don't ever run out of it. My children, they be glad when my steaks come in. Because I share. I get my salmon the same way. Some of the best salmon you ever eaten in your life. Because God want us to have the best. I don't go to the store and buy my salmon anymore. Do your thing. Don't get mad with me. If I can have it, I want it. He said he prepared it for me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Ooh, Jesus. Now you're getting ready. He says, to the place that my cup runneth over. Oh. He says, you anoint my head. That means you give me insight. You bring in stability to my mind now so that I don't think crazy thoughts anymore. My head is anointed, and that oil is running all the way down through my whole body. It runs down because whatever affects the head affects the whole body. So when your head is anointed, your body gets anointed. Healing can perpetuate itself through your body because you're not thinking sick. You're not thinking the thoughts of death. Watch this. Surely, somebody said surely. Goodness and mercy. That's now. See, I said surely goodness all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me everywhere I go. His goodness and his mercy, favor. It's called favor. Everywhere I go, goodness, favor. When I go to park my car, favor. When I go in the grocery store, favor. When I go to shop for clothes, favor. His goodness is faith. It just follows me everywhere I go. It's chasing me down. His mercy is always there when I make a mistake. They said, don't get off the track. Okay, you made a blooper. Get up. Don't lay there. Don't consider that. Don't fall into that pity party. Don't go there. Mercy is here. Take mercy. Take a dose of mercy and get back on so goodness can keep right on. See, we wallow too long in our pity. So what? You were stupid. Everybody been stupid. How long you going to stay stupid? Keep saying, I was so dumb. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. And you sing that for the next 3 months. In the meantime, what happened to your faith? What happened to the goodness? Where's mercy? Standing over here waiting 6 miles back, waiting on you to say, Lord, they're shaking their head as if to say, whew, I wish they would do something with me besides complain. That's all I hear. Can you imagine if goodness had to talk about you the way you talk about you? what would it say? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What about faith? When are we going to take this word and just believe it? Just believe it. You don't know if you believe it until you're in a crisis. Whatever's in you is like that Twinkie. It'll get squeezed out. You know they had that Twinkie that lived longer than some people. And they say it was still edible. Not for me. It has so many preservatives in it that it could last that long and not turn brown, not some, y'all trying to tell you something. You don't know what's in the Twinkie. You need to stop looking at it and let it twink you. It may not ever leave your body. I'm telling you. This is why God wants us to have the best. Why? Because the enemy's out there trying to sabotage you. They're not trying to extend your life. They already think the world is overpopulated. As though they God and know how many people are supposed to be on the earth. And the first people they're going to eliminate are the people that oppose them and Christians. So if you're going to say you're a Christian, don't need you hiding out. You might as well be bold as a lion. God will take care of you. All right, I'm getting ready to close. Because something seems impossible does not make it impossible. Say that after me. Because something seems impossible does not make it impossible. Ooh, Jesus. The words of faith spoken consistently with confidence in God's ability to provide will release all the power we need to transform anything we are looking at. And I'll leave you with this word. Keep faith alive. Keep faith alive. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet.